This is On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at what is happening in Western New York with news, features, and special guests. Now, here's your host, Penny Wolfgang.
Hi there. Welcome to On Target with your host, Penny Wolfgang.
Thank you.
And welcome, Marianne Esposito. I want to tell our listeners that we have an opportunity today to talk to a world-famous author, chef, and TV star. And again, as you know, I'm so biased towards people that have any connection to Western New York. And of course, our show is basically, you know, about Western New York and what's happening and talking to people who have made a difference here and about issues that are, you know, pretty much local. But now we have an opportunity on Target with Penny Wolfgang, which you are listening to talk today to, as I said, a world-renowned person who, of course, got her start in Western New York. And she is Marianne Esposito, not only a world-famous chef and author and TV star, but a friend of mine now. So, hi, Marianne. Thank you so much for joining us on Target.
Thank you.
So,
thank you, Judge Penny.
It's maybe... Yes.
That was a great introduction. Thank
yeah,
you.
I wanted to say more. Host of PBS Ciao Italia. And when I first had an opportunity to... meet Marianne about a year ago, and I've already admitted to all of you who listen and know me that I cannot cook one thing. I cannot bake. I cannot cook. I cannot make Jello. I can burn water. I can put a pot and burn the water. Honestly, you can put it like boil water and forget it's there and burn the water and the pot. So I'm the worst person to be talking about this several times, but Marianne has been so patient with me over the past since we met a couple of years ago, and she's been so kind and not brought up the fact that I don't know what she's talking about when she describes how to make all the dishes. When I first said, I told several of my friends, oh, guess what? I'm going to be interviewing. This is a year ago when we met at St. Mary's when you came for the fundraiser for your alma mater. I said, oh, Marianne Esposito is going to come, and my friends, who all of whom can cook and watch you and knew you, were so, oh, can you get her autograph? Oh, can you find out how to get her book? And they were so impressed that I was, you know, talking to you. It was like, you know, such a big star. And I, at that point, well, I was overwhelmed with the fact that I didn't know anything about cooking, and I didn't even know, hadn't even watched Ciao Italia, but now I do, because I know you. So that's a good result, right? I don't cook, but I watch the program sometimes.
That's a good result. I'll confess to you, Judge Penny, that I cannot make Jello either.
Oh, no, that's...
I do not make good Jello, no.
So I have everyone says to me, how can you not? All you do is boil the water and add the water. So then somehow I make like too much water, or it doesn't gel, or I don't know, I spilled it once, and it's messy. So let me get to, Marianne, let me get to the fact that you do come from Western New York, and tell us, my listeners, a little bit about that, because as you know, that's really paramount to me.
Yes, well, I was born in Buffalo at Millard Fillmore Hospital, and I grew up in Depew, New York. I went to school at St. Mary's Elementary and St. Mary's High School in Lancaster, New York, and I did my undergrad at Damon University. So I have big ties.
A real product, and you've stayed true.
Yeah.
But tell us, like, how you got interested to begin with in becoming a cook and a famous cook that you are.
Well, I hated cooking. I wrote about this in my first cookbook. If anyone would have told me that I would be doing what I'm doing now, I would have just choked on two meatballs, because that was the last thing in the world that I wanted to do. I wanted to be a teacher, and the reason I didn't like cooking is because both of my grandmothers were in the food business, and my mother became a dietitian, and those three women worked like slaves every day, all, and especially during the summer when all the fine produce was in. That we would be down in the basement kitchen, you know, skinning tomatoes and peaches, putting up cherries and pears and wine. And, you know, it was just drudgery. Because my job was to wash all and scald all the jars and make sure that the, you know, the skins from the peaches and the pits were out properly. So, I mean, this was, I was a kid. I wanted to have fun. I wanted to ride my bike and just enjoy, you know, life. So that was the last thing on my mind. So I really didn't get into cooking until I made my first trip to Italy in 1984, I believe it was, or 1983. And then it's like everything, you know, in life. You have to rediscover yourself. You have to rediscover your roots. And because I lived in an Italian-American house, you know, we spoke Italian. My grandmother and mother's always made Italian food. And so when I went to Italy for that first time, things really clicked. I thought, wow, this is so familiar to me. Oh, I know how to do that. And so I started looking at my Italian heritage in a whole new light. I realized, you know, what a wonderful heritage I had, not only food-wise, but culture-wise and family-wise and history-wise and the great contributions that Italians made to the Western world, and kind of just changed my perspective. And so from that first trip, I continued making trips yearly to Italy. And then I said, well, you know, I think I should go to cooking school. So I did, and I spent time in different cooking schools in Italy, different regions. And when I was just, you know, intrigued by all this. The more I did this, the more I became drawn into this. And so my husband, Gaetano, says, well, you know, why don't you think about doing a little adult ed program about Italian regional food, which I did. And it got good response. And then he said, well, you know, we do have a public television station where we live. Why don't you see if they would like to do some shows on Italian food? Now, you have to realize I live in New England. And so it's not like a hotbed of Italians live here. So it was a big, hard sell to try to convince people that I would love to, you know, come on in the studio here and make things like osso buco and, you know, risotto and things that they were not familiar with. I mean, this was territory for pot roast and hamburgers and hot dogs. So it was a really hard sell. But then they came around to think, well, maybe, you know, we should give her a shot. Okay. So they came to my house, and they and then that was it. You know, it was, okay, tell us about Italian food. So the one thing about TV is that you got to keep things moving. You just can't stand there, you know. And so I learned early on that you have to talk, think, and cook at the same time.
And chew gum.
And chew gum, that's right.
No.
And that was the beginning of Ciao Italia.
That's
30 years ago.
That's a lot to think. That's a lot to do. People don't realize that. It's different cooking or making something on television or before an audience than it is at home. You know, there's like you just said, there's a lot to think about. So then I know what's interesting is that you, first of all, continued going to different regions of Italy to get different kinds of food and different recipes from the different areas.
Yeah.
I think that's that's important to talk about.
Yes, because, you know, I had to realize, well, who is your audience? Who are you talking to? And, you know, you can't assume that everybody knows everything that you know, maybe, about Italy. So I had to start from the beginning. There are 20 regions of Italy. Think of the United States. We have 50 states, right? Mm-hmm. Well, Italy is just not a country. It has 20 regions. And each of those regions is very unique, and they're food types are very unique. And so that became the basis for me saying on my very first program, there is no such thing as Italian food. There's only regional food. And so that, knowing that, became kind of like the foundation on which I built the shows. So I would go to different regions in Italy, showcasing the foods, talking with the people who grow, farmers and cheese makers and winemakers and all types of people in different food-related industries. And I brought this back to the studio with me so that I could convey that message to, you know, the viewers who have never heard of some of the dishes that I did, who always thought that, well, Italian food is really just red sauce, you know, which now, through Ciao Italia and other food programs too, we know that that is not true. So I just recently came back from Umbria 2 weeks ago. I took 20 people with me to the region of Umbria, which is the landlocked region of Italy, right in the center. And we worked with local ingredients. So if you go to Umbria, immediately you think of black truffles. You think of lentils and other grains. You think of black celery. You think of pork products, because that's the signature meat of Umbria. You think of flatbreads. You think of breads that are made without salt. You think of olive oil, because some of the best olive oil comes from that region. So this is an opportunity to expose people to what are the foods that are pertinent to this region that are not pertinent to, let's say, Sicily as another region. So it's kind of like a learning curve. It's like saying, you know, I'm going to go to Georgia next week, but I'm not going to order lobster there, because that's something you'd eat where? In Boston or New England. I want peach pie, right? Because that's what the Georgians are known for, peaches. So, and barbecue. So it's eating what is pertinent and cooking what is pertinent to the area.
And I think we've learned so much from all your books, especially the fact that there not only are these different regions that you talked about in Italy, but everyone has their own signature, like you just pointed out. They're not all the same. They're not all red sauce that we think of, or meatballs, or I don't know what. There are so many different places, and they each have like a different specialty. So what I think is, and what some of the others that you've pointed out that are all different, the point is that they have different grow different vegetables or spices or ingredients in those areas, right?
Yes. And one of the best ways to learn about that when you're in Italy, wherever you are, is to go to one of the markets. Go to one of the outdoor markets, because every region has them. And by just walking through the outdoor markets and seeing what's there, you will get an understanding of what those local ingredients are. So that's really, you know, that to me is a fun way to get to know an area. Just go to a farmer's market.
Which is fun, even if even for someone who, like me, who can't really cook. I love going to the farmer's markets just to see, just to look at the produce and so forth. It's a fun experience, especially if you're a tourist. Explain how you got to have a chef, a kitchen at home, and a school.
Well, you know, we started out in a studio. So in the early days of Ciao Italia, we filmed in a studio. And then as time went on and things changed and the technology got better, because initially we would start with these really honking big cameras that you had to have cables on the floor. And, you know, they were just cumbersome. Now we've graduated to these tiny, tiny little cameras. There's no more cables, none of that. And so we could move out of the studio and give people more of a real home kitchen experience. So after years of being in the studio, I decided to do this in my own home kitchen, which is good and bad in some ways, because it's an invasion, of course, of, you know, your home, because you got all these people.
It's like the Real Housewives of Marianne Esposito, right?
Yeah. And 1 year, I can tell you this story, because 1 year when we were filming, of course, I had gone to, I had given a talk to a library in Maine. And when I came home, I started itching. I didn't know why. But then after I went to bed that night, I woke up and I had all these bumps all over my arms. And it's film day. So this is a day, and we don't have the luxury of saying, oh, you know, we'll do it next week. No, we film all of our shows in a block. So 20 shows we do in 10 days, you know, so you would do two shows a day. So here I am, I have all these bumps on my arms. I'm thinking, what is this? Come to find out, I contracted bed bugs.
What?
Yeah. And so, oh my goodness. Anyway, so we had to, you know, continue on. I had to do the show as if there was nothing wrong. And you would not know that I was really super upset because I had bed bugs. But, you know, I had to be, you know, the following week, I had to continue the shows. Now I'm on steroids. I've got people in my house fumigating things while the show is going on. So this is something the viewer doesn't see, you know. So the show has to look seamless. You're telling a story, you know, and you're cooking. So then after I did that for a few years in my own home kitchen, I would travel to other people's kitchens and we would film there. And now this season, the new season, which I'm hoping will air on, you know, your public television station there in Buffalo, this new season, our 30th season, is produced in a cooking school where I have a live audience. So it's a little different twist. So we're doing things a little differently than we did in the past. So we have a live audience and the audience can ask questions. And we have also asked them to participate in the cooking. So we would bring people on to do different things. Like there was one show where we did gnocchi and I said, who would like to come up and help do this as we're filming the show? And of course, got a lot of participants raising their hands and grab somebody. But the minute the camera was on, they were not happy.
Bashful?
Yeah, they were bashful. But I thought it was a good idea because it allows the viewer to realize that, you know, it's easy to say, oh, look at her, she can cook that. But I wanted it to be, oh, look at this, you can cook this. So by having, you know, the audience participation, it's kind of like a little reassurance that, yes, you can do this. It's not hard.
And so when people watch the PBS program, it might be somebody like yourselves watching that's helping on television. I just want to, and being on PBS is a big deal. I just want to interrupt for a moment, though, in case you just tuned in. You're listening to On Target with your host, Penny Wolfgang, and our guest today is Marianne Esposito, host of PBS Ciao Italia, an author and famous cook and famous chef. And so she has written many books, and one of the reasons that we decided that we could talk to her today is because her new book just came out, and it's called Ciao Italia, Plant, Harvest, Cook. And I think the advice and the fact that she is talking about simple planting advice as well as harvesting and cooking with local ingredients, just the farm-to-table idea that is so current, you know, and such a trend, I guess it has been for a while, that obviously you decided that this is something people would be interested in learning about, how to use local ingredients, organic, homemade, whatever the term may be, in their cooking. Is that basically in Italian cooking? Is that the idea?
Well, the idea was really, the book was really based on the fact that over 30 years, we dedicated two episodes each season to the Ciao Italia garden, which, you know, focuses on Italian-type vegetables. And so during the pandemic, when we could not film, I decided that was a good time to write the book about the Ciao Italia garden and the vegetables we grow in it, my husband's role in it, why you should consider doing this, and why even if you don't have a garden, you have access to a farmer's market, you have access to your grocery store vegetables, but what you want to do is cook in season. And the book, if you want to plant, is easy. It's not this tome where you have to have a degree in animal husbandry or something, but it's just simple planting advice. But so it's a dual purpose book. You can plant from it and harvest from it, and I should say three purpose book, and you can cook from it. So if you don't have any plot of land, you don't feel like planting, you it's just not your thing, you can go to the grocery store, buy vegetables in season, and cook the over 120 recipes that are in the book. But if you are so inclined, you're a neophyte and you want to start a garden, this is for you, because I give you simple planting advice based on what I have learned over 30 years from my husband, Gaetano, who really is the master gardener of the Ciao Italia garden, and from whom I have learned everything I know about planting and maintaining a vegetable garden. So yes. the book is divided into the early spring garden and then the summer garden. And what vegetables do best in those two climate areas. If it's cold, rainy and damp, you don't want to be planting tomatoes, in February or March. You want to wait till June because you know that tomatoes require heat. You know that eggplant requires heat. Peppers require heat. But lettuce and radishes, nope, they belong in the spring garden because they like cool weather and would not do well in hot weather. So in the book, I tell you that I wrote the book from based on my experience in the garden, that I live in zone 5. So the book is based on growing vegetables for that zone. But I also tell you that if you live in a different zone, like if you're in Kansas and you're in zone 4, well, you can plant these vegetables a lot sooner than you can if you're in zone 5, because we're colder a lot longer than our southern friends or our western friends are. But even if, you know, you just want a good book for cooking in-season vegetables, this is it. And for these vegetables, I concentrate on those that are most known and most loved by Italians. You know, eggplant, tomatoes, peppers, zucchini, those types of things. But then we have cucumbers and lettuces and radishes and broccoli rape and celery. So there's a bevy of all kinds of vegetables for you to plant, or if you want to just cook from the book, that's great too.
This is really annoying because I have the book in front of me, and each page, as I look at the different photographs of sometimes of the completed foods, I am so hungry. I am thinking, will this come out if I try this with this? Everything sounds spinach stuffed portobello mushroom tart.
Oh, easy!
I want it's that.
So easy.
I want to eat
well,
that. Just looking at the pictures. what I did want to mention is like I said, it's kind of current, trendy. Garden.
Yeah.
That it's very. There's a reason why. We're talking, oh my gosh, I just turned to California, cauliflower pizza, oh my gosh, I want that. And I never thought, that's very popular now. There's a reason why people are doing growing gardens and using food, making dishes with, and it's a health reason, it's an environmental reason. There's a lot of reasons for it, right?
Yes, there are a lot of reasons for it, and especially I think the millennials and those people who are younger than us have realized, they want to know where their food comes from. They don't want pesticides in their foods. They want to know where their foods come from, and they want to eat healthy. They want to eat in season. And I think that trend has taken off. And especially during the pandemic, I think this was very critical. People started to realize, hey, now that I can't go out, I'm going to cook at home. And so, they started to realize that this was something that they should be doing more often, because most young people do not, if you can believe this, do not eat dinner together every night. It's too complicated because we have schedules. If you have young children, they have soccer practice, or you have a meeting, or both people are working, it becomes difficult to eat healthy each night. And then you got to say, well, what am I going to cook tomorrow? Every day you have to eat, right? So you might as well eat healthy. But in this book, I try to show you that it doesn't have to be complicated. And you just mentioned one simple recipe that is everything. It has protein, it has your carbohydrates, and that would be that stuffed portobello mushroom, that mushroom tart that you just mentioned, which is, you can put this together in 10 minutes. It's really easy. And I think the other thing is that they want, with the long-term obesity that we now see in younger people, children, this awareness of, hey, we've got to get serious about what we're eating. And so, vegetables can make up the mainstay of your diet, because if you look at the Italian food pyramid, the Mediterranean diet, you will see that the largest category of where you should be eating from on the pyramid is from the base. And the base is vegetables, grains, yes, pasta, olive oil. This is what Italians have been eating for years. So the idea of the farm to table is nothing new to Italians. They've been doing this for eons. But it has come to be recognized as something we should be doing. You know, within the last 15, 20 years, people are getting the message, hey, you know, we have to start eating more healthy. And I think this book can help you.
I think
not
so.
To mention that these recipes are all very tasty.
And the ingredients are available. That's a question.
Simple.
That's a question.
Yes.
Well, I see one of them is peas, for example. I mean, everyone can find peas,
and
lettuce.
With linguine. Yeah. Yeah, peas. Everybody can get peas. You know, if you don't want to, if you're having a garden, you don't want a garden, fine. Just buy peas at your farmer's market or join a community garden. These community gardens have become huge now.
Yes.
Because people are realizing, you know, we should be eating more healthy. And if you don't want any of that, go to the grocery store and get some peas in season and make that beautiful dish with the linguine and the shrimp. So simple. It's so simple.
I have to hang up on the interview now because I'm really hungry, Marianne.
Oh, well, that's okay.
I want to tell everyone we're talking about Ciao Italia, Plant, Harvest, Cook, and where can they find this newest book?
Well, they can find it in any bookstore. They can go online, on Amazon. They can go to ciaoitalia.com, and the book is right there. You can click on it there and buy it there. So anywhere, really, where books are sold.
And we're going to know that everybody who's listening is going to be looking for this book after talking to you and learning and hearing your enthusiasm and knowledge. And we thank you so much for talking to us here on Target, and it's always good to talk with you. And I have a feeling next year you'll be back probably with another book, knowing how you are.
Oh,
well, you probably have it in mind already, right?
I do.
I knew it. I knew it.
Well, it takes me about 2 years to write a book. So
okay.
Maybe
all right. Okay. Hey, thanks. Ciao. And
grazie.
Okay.
Bye now.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Talk to you again next week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at Western New York and our community. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write to Penny Wolfgang at 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Amherst, New York, 14226.